sampling of the forbidden fruit and calling it an act that brought enlightenment rather than man's fall. And friends, that same thing is repeated in the popular novel The Shack. He records a fictitious conversation saying Sophia is a personification of Papa or God's wisdom. Really? We're being seduced. You may be seduced. The quantum shift toward paganism. Thanks for joining us. Get a copy of my book, Seduction of the Saints. Your gift of $18 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get on our website. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Do not be seduced.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Jeff Grossmeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Peter Hammond from Frontline Fellowship, which, of course, operates throughout Africa, centered in Cape Town. But certainly Peter has a ministry and helpers all throughout the African continent as they bring the word of the Lord to people in literally every country there, most of the countries. Now, of course, Peter is on a tour of the United States, and usually when he comes, why, lets us know ahead of time. We always enjoy having him on, and we just want you to understand what is going on in Africa, because it's all been created by your State Department. Your State Department placed the murderous dictator in control of Zimbabwe. His name is Robert Mugabe. We put him there over 30 years ago, and Henry Kissinger promised the people there they had nothing to worry about, that America would see that suddenly everything ran smoothly, and if it didn't, America would intervene. If their farms were threatened, America would buy their farms so they could leave. Nothing to worry about. Just trust the United States, and the people there trusted the United States. Henry Kissinger speaking for the United States, and well, we'll talk about what happened. Certainly, the United States State Department placed Nelson Mandela in power in Africa. Nelson Mandela was a lifelong terrorist, contrary to, of course, whatever you hear in the media here, but you can see the pictures of him. Certainly, we have many of them standing in front of the communist flag with his raised clenched fist. He was a lifelong terrorist who was kept in Robben Island because he refused to announce terrorism. He was always a terrorist, and of course things weren't quite as bad when he was in control in South Africa, but now they're going bad to worse. But I'm going to let Peter tell you what's going on. Peter, thanks very much for being with us, and remember, this is the new audience, so you feel at liberty to repeat what you've said before.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. God bless you for the work that you do, and praise God for community radio stations that are giving an alternative to the brainwashing and superficial nonsense that seems to predominate in so much of the mass media. We do need to know the truth, and I realize that there's so much distortion of what's going on in Africa. Most people have heard a fairy tale that once upon a time everyone lived in peace and harmony and democratic tranquility in Africa, and then along came the evil whites and the demonic Boers who invented racial discrimination, and the people suffered, and then came Nelson Mandela, and everyone lived happily ever after. And this is a fairy tale that's believed by a surprising amount of gullible people. But I see there was a film that came out recently, Invictus, which was making out that Nelson Mandela was some kind of messiah and, you know, some wonderful democratic icon and example that everyone would want to have as a grandfather. But they left out a whole lot of key things, like all that he did for communism and terrorism, and all the white farmers that have been murdered since he came to power and opened the prison doors and let a lot of people out, including murderers and rapists who have continued to terrorize the people. Since Nelson Mandela became president in South Africa in 1994, well over 3,000 white farmers have been torturously murdered and mutilated.
But isn't it amazing we never hear about that here in this country? In fact, we never hear about most of the important things going on in South Africa or in Zimbabwe. Oh, occasionally there's an article in the newspaper, but you always get the impression, well, you know, America's trying to get these things straightened out. It's all going to work out in the end, but it's not working out. What's the unemployment rate in South Africa? Because certainly when I was there, lived there in the mid-1970s, all the blacks had jobs. Certainly nobody was going hungry. What's happening in South Africa today?
Well, unemployment is very high. It's pushing up towards 40-45%. But across the board in Zimbabwe, it's over 90% unemployment. So, you know, there's as many people out of work as in work.
Hold that thought. South Africa. Go right ahead, Peter.
Yes, there's just such an incredible undermining of every level of society and civilization in South Africa. That, you know, if you think back to Africa in the 1950s, it was a paradise. You could travel from one side of Africa to the other without a passport, on smooth, safe roads, without having to run the gauntlet through roadblocks or checkpoints as you have to now. And it's extraordinary how the stability of Africa, where nobody starved, back in the old days under Rhodesia or the colonial administrations, and any of the problems people might have had in the past, they just pale compared to the massacres and oppression that has predominated since decolonization. And this is something that the United States State Department pushed on the European government straight off the Second World War as a primary goal to get Europe out of Africa. And who filled the vacuum? The Soviet Union and Red China poured into the vacuum. So when Britain and Portugal and France and Belgium pulled out, the Russians and the Chinese moved in. And tens of millions of Africans have been slaughtered by the dictatorships there since. And, of course, even more have died of starvation. Because once you start to murder the farmers, naturally famine is going to be one of the results. And I saw this. I was born in Africa. I've been raised in Africa. I'm now 50 years old, so I've lived my whole life in Africa. And I was brought up in Rhodesia. I saw the paradise of Rhodesia destroyed and turned into the communist hellhole that it is now in Zimbabwe. And that was a direct result of Henry Kissinger's policies through the State Department. And so people need to know what happened. We were operating a very efficient economy in Africa. Things were working well. People were safe and free and peaceful. Nobody bothered to lock their doors at night. We never even bother to shut the doors or the windows at night.
And let me just point out that in Rhodesia there was no apartheid. Blacks had the same rights as whites did. They had a franchise. You had to either have own property or an education before you could vote. But other than that they had blacks owned property. They had cars. They had businesses. The blacks were prospering. The whites were prospering. The whites were the farmers. They were doing a wonderful job. They were producing food for all of Africa, or certainly.
Indeed. Rhodesia had a qualified franchise, either education or property ownership, and there was no racial discrimination as such in Rhodesia because whites and blacks could be anywhere. I remember such thing as segregated cinemas or swimming pools, anything like that. It was all a very multiracial country, and there was good race relations in Rhodesia. But what happened in 1980 when the British and Americans betrayed the Rhodesians into the hands of Robert Mugabe's Marxist terrorists is massacres began. First, they started to massacre tens of thousands of Madibili, and I've
hold that thought, we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Peter was talking about how after the American State Department forced the Rhodesian people to accept this dictator Mugabe, I mean, they started these slaughters, and they slaughtered thousands of the Matabele, thousands of the blacks, and this was all done while America was looking on, talking how isn't it wonderful. Now we have democracy in Rhodesia, but of course you'd replaced a representative government there with now a Marxist dictatorship. He was brought to power and financed by the American State Department, Henry Kissinger, and they've kept him in power ever since, and they're keeping him in power today. But we can't let the people here in America know that. Supposedly, oh, we feel so badly about what's going on over there. We're financing it, ladies and gentlemen. We're financing it with your tax dollars. Go right ahead, Peter.
Well, unfortunately, you're quite right, Dr. Stan, because none of these dictatorships in Africa would be able to stand on their own, because they've destroyed their own economies. You can't destroy the farms and destroy the agricultural foundation of a nation than expect to be able to stay in power unless you have overseas foreign aid. And it's the foreign aid from the European Union and the United Nations and the United States aid, US aid, and then the IMF, which US taxpayers are a major sponsor of. These are what are keeping these unelected mass murdering thugs and dictators in power in one country after the other, where the people are suffering. Now, I'm not just talking about this academically. I've been bombed while preaching in church in Sudan. I've been under artillery and rocket fire while preaching in churches in Sudan. Our mission base has been bombed 10 times just in Sudan by the Sudan Air Force. We've come under fire. We've been ambushed. I've ended up in prison in some of these places and seen how the prisoners have absolutely no rights. We were locked in hell holes with no water, no running water, no sanitation, no plumbing, no toilets, no means of cleaning yourself, absolutely no access to soap, no ventilation. 60 prisoners crammed into a cell 25 feet by 15 feet. Imagine 60 to 65 prisoners in a cell that small, the size of an average bedroom, and there's not a bed, there's no blankets, there's no pillows or sheets. It's just a disease factory, filthy, degrading disease factory. And I've been locked up in conditions like that and seen the people tortured by their own governments, none of whom had ever come to trial, who had ever been charged. This is just rule by lawless Marxists, and every one of these Marxist dictatorships are kept in power by the IMF and the World Bank and US aid and foreign aid and the European Union's aid. And all of these foreign aid bailouts are keeping these unelected dictators in place where they would have otherwise had to collapse. And nowhere is this clearer than in Zimbabwe, where the country has no economy. The country has totally destroyed the economy to the point where today one brick costs more than all the houses, homes, and farms combined would have cost back in the days of Rhodesia. When I was brought up in Rhodesia, one Rhodesian dollar could buy three American dollars. You needed three American dollars to buy one Rhodesian dollar. It was that stronger currency. Today, it's trillions and trillions of Zimbabwe dollars to one American dollar, and they've already knocked 16 zeros off the currency, and it's still trillions and trillions. Never in the history of the world has it been such rampant, out-of-control inflation as you get in Zimbabwe. I've never heard of another country where half of the total population have fled, voted with their feet, and left the country. There's more Zimbabweans outside of Zimbabwe than in it. When in the history of the world has this happened before? And this destabilization continues with the aid of the international community, because billions of US dollars and euros are every year going into Zimbabwe to prop up this unelected mass-murdering dictator who has slaughtered the white farmers, destroyed the farms, slaughtered the Matabele, and has bludgeoned his own people into submission. The opposition party in Zimbabwe has gotten vastly more votes than the government, but they're kept out of power. The government is obviously not a government, it's a dictatorship. They have been rejected by the voters on every occasion since the year 2000, but they stay in power, and Mugabe is welcomed to the United Nations and applauded and given standing ovations and more handouts and bailouts from Western governments to keep him in power.
American tax dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen, American tax dollars at work. This is the result, of course, of your State Department and of Henry Kissinger and of the establishment that runs our country. And the fact that you've never heard this before is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. And, of course, the tragedy of Rhodesia, where there's no education, there's very little medical care, you can't get medical supplies. The only people, of course, get anything there is the elite who are financed by your government and your tax dollars and in the name of humanitarian relief. And, of course, then there are thug police and there are thug military who rape and torture the people there. And over half the people have already fled the country. American tax dollars at work. Go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, I know that many people have heard the fiction and myth that Nelson Mandela is a modern saint and a wonderful man, and it's amazing just to have seen this recent film Invictus, which Clint Eastwood directed, and I really had hoped for better from him, but this was just major mythology, and yet the facts about Nelson Mandela are these, and I think most people do need to realize the fact that Nelson Mandela did write the book How to Be a Good Communist, and he did legalize abortion. Nelson Mandela pushed through abortion against all opposition. The vast majority of the population of South Africa was against abortion on demand, and yet he pushed it through and made it a requirement. Every one of his members of parliament, the ANC, had to vote for it, even against their own conscience. He wouldn't allow a conscience vote on this. And so he pushed it through. He legalized pornography. He tried to legalize prostitution, although the Supreme Court overturned that later. He kicked out the Bible and prayer out of government. Our parliament had for 128 years opened in prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but the first act when Mandela became president was no prayer, not even a moment of silence for the opening of parliament. And not only that, the Bible was kicked out of schools, prayer was outlawed in our schools, secular humanism brought in. It's just been, even getting the Planned Parenthood, one of the most vociferous pro-abortion groups in the world, to run sex education in our schools. Now, this is the Nelson Mandela who is not normally being portrayed to people. Many people think Nelson Mandela is a Christian, but I've met him, I've spoken to him, I spent over an hour speaking to him when he summoned me after I'd marched 30,000 people in protest against his evil policies of legalizing abortion and pornography. I marched 30,000 people to protest that outside his office. So he summoned me to his home to try and talk me out of our stand, and during that time I asked him straight. I said, are you a Christian? And he said, no, he is not. And I asked, what is his personal religious convictions? And he refused to answer and said, that's very personal. He doesn't want to answer that. And Mandela has openly supported the most brutal communist dictatorships on the planet, like Fidel Castro's Cuba, Robert Mugabe's Zimbabwe, Red China, Gaddafi's Libya, Saddam Hussein, Yasser Arafat. All these dictators have been welcomed and kissed and hugged by Nelson Mandela and given the greatest ovations and support in South Africa. So it's incredible that so many Americans, including Christians, continue to idolize Nelson Mandela and quote him like he is an example of some kind of Christianity that we should follow. And yet the reality is very, very different.
And yet, when he became the premier or president of South Africa, when he was inaugurated, there were all the communists from all over the world coming to celebrate, and Hillary Clinton was there too. Go right ahead.
Indeed. I noticed that in Invictus, they made a big thing about Nelson Mandela being imprisoned for 30 years. Well, actually, it was 26, but I suppose the math isn't that good. But then they make never any mention of why he was in prison. He was the head of Umkhonto we Sizwe, the terrorist wing of the ANC. And under him, there'd been decades of vicious terrorist warfare, burning down of schools, hacking to death of thousands of innocent people, pouring gasoline over 1,000 innocent victims, setting them alight, and he supported the armed struggles, as he called it, of the ANC. He was, in fact, in charge of Umkhonto we Sizwe. The brutal necklace murders that killed black town councillors, black mayors, the car bombs in public streets, limpet mines in shopping centers, petrol bombs, grenades, assassinations. And all of this is not mentioned. But they keep mentioning how the whites locked him up in prison, as though he was locked up just because he was black or just because he was in opposition to the government or something.
Why wasn't he ever tried for murder? I mean, certainly he was responsible for those murders.
He
ordered them. Why was he never tried for murder?
He was, and he was tried in court and pleaded guilty to 156 acts of public violence and terrorism. And he was Nelson Mandela was a trained lawyer, like Clinton. He's a lawyer, and he stood up there and said he pleaded guilty to all these charges, so he never contested any of this, and he was very proud of his involvement, and they sentenced him to life imprisonment. And all the newspapers, including the New York Times and the London Times, praised South African government and judges for such a lenient sentence on the man, because at that time, in 1964, a person would have been hung in Britain or electrocuted in America for similar offenses. And they said at the time how lenient South Africa was by only giving him a life imprisonment. But later, he suddenly became a political prisoner in the minds of so many in the West, even though at the time nobody doubted in 1964 that he had got a very, very lenient sentence. And now, today, we have Clint Eastwood producing a movie, idolizing Nelson Mandela, making it out that the man was some innocent grandfather locked up for no good reason at all.
Shame on Clint Eastwood. He should have done his homework before putting out that propaganda campaign, a piece for the world communist movement.
Indeed so. I wrote an article, Invictus Idolatry, which has gotten a lot of reaction. It's on our www.frontline.org.za website. So if anyone wants to see a film review giving the other side of Nelson Mandela, it's on Invictus Idolatry. That's the article under film reviews on the frontline.org.za website.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, what you have to understand, you're not going to get the truth from the controlled media in America. We have freedom of the press. That means the people who control the media and Hollywood have the ability to distort truth any way they want to. And, of course, they simply withhold the truth, the fact that Nelson Mandela was a vicious communist who was, you know, responsible for literally thousands of murders, burning people to death, necklacing. What a horrible way to die. And yet we eulogize Nelson Mandela, and this latest Clint Eastwood movie, it's really such a tragedy that Clint doesn't understand that he is utilizing a vicious, really inhumane murderer. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, go right ahead, Peter.
Well, just something else that one should mention at this time, Dr. Stan, is in this Invictus Idolatry, it really portrays all the whites in South Africa as cardboard cutouts.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verki water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verki water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. 703-970-9796, or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
America that betrayed the Rhodesian people or the South African people or China into the hands of the communists. Really, it's not the America that we recognize. There is an invisible government. It works through the Council on Foreign Relations, more recently through the Trilateral Commission and Bilderbergers, and they control our State Department. It doesn't matter whether the Republicans or the Democrats are there. They always are in charge. And, of course, they want a world government. That's their major goal. But behind that are the powerful spiritual forces that energize the evil that is being done. And until the American people charge these people with treason and subversion, and they're removed from every level of our government and their control of our monetary system and our media, why, of course, there's no hope either for America or the world, because as America goes, so goes the world, and they are using our financial and military power to bring about this wonderful world socialist system that every communist and every globalist and these people of great wealth want. And, of course, behind that are the powerful spiritual forces which energize them, which most people do not understand. Go right ahead, Peter.
Well, Dr. Stan, I should mention something else that should be of interest. I was recently in Switzerland celebrating the 500th anniversary of John Calvin, and we had big Reformation celebrations there. And I happened to be sitting down with Faith Whittlesley. She used to be America's ambassador to Switzerland back in the Reagan era, and she told me that there is a war on against Switzerland right now, an economic war that the United States government and the European Union are waging economic war and disinformation campaigns against Switzerland, trying to destroy Swiss independence. Now, Switzerland, as you know, is the oldest republic in the world, well over 700 years, and Switzerland has the... It's probably one of the freest populations in the world and one of the most armed and very freedom-loving people and a very decentralized country. But the U.S. State Department is at this time engaged in a very subversive campaign of trying to undermine Switzerland economically, as is the EU. And one of the things they're demanding is that Americans who have accounts in Switzerland be exposed, that the Swiss government's going to break their own law by giving confidential information about their banking clients to a foreign government, which, of course, is a blatant interference in the independence of Switzerland. But in order to force Switzerland to join the European Union, the EU is waging another economic war against them, too. So they're being hit on all sides. And I don't think I've read about that in any newspaper anywhere. But when I brought this up to some Swiss people and said, you know, is this true? And several Christian Swiss businessmen I spoke to said, no, this is definitely true. Switzerland is being under relentless attack by both the European Union and by the United States State Department, and it's economic warfare, and it's a lot of disinformation campaigns. And it's not too strong a term to call it war, because it's as though your government has declared war on this freedom-loving, independent state of Switzerland.
Well, of course, we've done this time and again. We brought the Marxists to power in Nepal recently. We're installing dictatorships in Pakistan. Certainly, there's a dictator in Afghanistan. The government there in Iraq is certainly not representative of the people. It's simply the power elite there. And, of course, we've managed to create a government under Sharia law. Before that, it was secular. You could believe whatever you want to. But after we installed the Muslim Sharia law government in Iraq, they drove the Christians out. Christians have been forced out. Why would we go in and overthrow a secular government that tolerated Christianity and install a Muslim government under Sharia law that doesn't tolerate Christianity? You have to ask yourself, what's really going on in the world today? And I feel sorry for the Swiss people. Let's hope and pray that they can hold out against the wicked people in the American State Department who will bring all nations under the control of this one world government and under the control of the American empire. We have an empire. We have troops in 130 to 140 nations throughout the world. And nobody ever asked, why do we have all those troops all throughout the world? Why are we going to war with Iran? Why are we still fighting in Afghanistan when there's only 100 members of Al-Qaeda there? What's really going on in the world? Well, listen to what Peter has to say, because he has an insight from Africa that you're not going to get elsewhere. Go ahead, Peter.
Well, Dr. Stan, we've been deeply concerned as to why Africa, when it was a paradise and stable, would have been so undermined. And the only answer we can get to is that it seems that there's this new world order plan of massive population control. And I've had military intelligence officials discussing this with me, saying that the reason why the farmers are being targeted in our country is to be able to bring down agricultural production, to increase famine deaths, to bring down human population. And that just sounded too incredible. I said,
well, it's not incredible at all, Peter. Hold on, we'll be back in just a moment here. Go right ahead, Peter. You were just saying the military intelligence officers had come to you, and you thought it was impossible. And, of course, if you listen to my program all the time, you know it's not impossible. It's what they really intend to do. They really do intend to kill off most of the people in the world, and they've targeted the blacks primarily.
Well, yes. I mean, you just consider Rhodesia. Rhodesia had one of the finest agricultural economies, incredibly efficient, with the highest standard of literacy on the continent, with some of the best educated Africans anywhere. And Rhodesia gets handed over to Marxist terrorists, who then bludgeon the nation and start to invade white farms. And there were 5,400 effective commercial farms, which were the biggest employers in the country. They produced enough food not only to feed the whole of Zimbabwe, but to export food and to bring the greatest amount of foreign exchange earnings. And so the white farmers of Zimbabwe were in fact a treasure to the nation, and was the economic dynamo that made Zimbabwe work. And it was self-destructive. It was a national suicide to invade these farms and destroy these farms and to destroy the productivity. And of course famine followed, and most of the population of Zimbabwe have fled since, because the famine is real. And now in South Africa, under Nelson Mandela's African National Congress, they have officials singing, high-up officials in ANC singing, kill the Boer, kill the farmer. Kill the Boer, kill the farmer. One farmer, one bullet. And they are literally rejoicing in the deaths of farmers. Now, we recently had a very prominent Afrikaans leader, Eugene de Blanche, who had come to Christ recently too, for that matter, torturously mutilated and murdered in his bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. And this just highlighted that over 3,000 white farmers have been murdered since Nelson Mandela became president. That makes the white farmers in South Africa the most vulnerable section of population in anywhere in the world. Nowhere is there a group of people more vulnerable to murder than white farmers in South Africa, and are obviously being targeted. What made this even more shocking was that the president of the Youth League of the ANC, that's Julius Malema, apparently had on his Facebook a counter where they were literally rejoicing over the number of farmers at that stage, 3,086 murdered. And so he couldn't say that his songs and his speeches were unrelated to reality, that farmers actually were getting killed in response to the rabble-rousing of political leaders. And our Supreme Court recently decreed that this song, Kill the Farmer, Kill the Boers, was racist hate speech and unconstitutional.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, our guest is Peter Hammond. And before I go on, Peter, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with Frontline Ministry, and how they can find out where you're speaking. You're going to be speaking all across the country here over this next 3 or 4 weeks, and certainly how they can get in touch. And if you have a talk in their area, they might be able to attend, but how can they get in touch with your ministry? And we might add that Barbara and I, my wife, we support Frontline Ministry. We certainly appreciate what Peter's doing. We love South Africa, having lived there for a number of years. We're not in a position to go off and be missionaries today, so why, of course, we want to help those who are on the front lines, and Peter, believe me, is on the front line, Frontline Ministry, Frontline Fellowship. Go right ahead. How can people get in touch with you?
Dr. Stan, I'm going to be speaking in Orlando this coming Saturday morning at a men's breakfast and then church in the morning St. Andrews and Stanford in Orlando. I'm going to be at Dallas-Fort Worth for a conference on discernment, and that's going to be next week's Friday and Saturday. I'll be in Colorado Springs thereafter, Summit Ministries. If people want the exact details, they can contact our office in California. It's email info@frontlinefellowship.net. That's info@frontlinefellowship.net. The telephone number is 866-785-7210. That's 866-785-7210. Or you can check upcoming events on frontline.org.za website.
All right, fine. Well, of course, you were just saying, Sydney, that they killed so many of the farmers, drove them out of South Africa. They're driving them out of Rhodesia today, but in South Africa. Why, of course, they've killed over 3,000 of the farmers there. What happened to the two men who killed this Afrikaans leader?
Oh, they're very proud of it, and they turned themselves in, and they think they're going to be folk heroes for doing it. And at this stage, it remains to be seen if justice will be served in any way, but what we do know is that the president of the country and the president of the ANC Youth League are ignoring the Constitutional Court's decree that the Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer song is racist hate speech and is unconstitutional, and they're continuing to sing it, and farmers are continuing to be murdered, showing that it seems the rule of law is not being respected in our country, and that people talking about a farm invasion, Zimbabwe style, in South Africa. Now, this is the situation. In 1994, when Nelson Mandela took over South Africa, there were 70,000 white farmers, just 70,000 commercial white farmers, but they were feeding 100 million people throughout the continent of Africa, as far as the Congo. People were eating maize grown in Orange Free State and food that came from all over South Africa. So the Transvaal and Free State have phenomenally effective farming communities. However, with over 3,000 farmers having been torturously murdered and mutilated in recent years since the Mandela ANC took over, we now have less than 25,000 commercial farmers in the country. So the number of white commercial farmers has plummeted from 70,000 down to about 25,000. And they are barely managing to feed 40 million people now. So we've got less food than the entire population of the country needs. So for the first time, South Africa is having to import food. And, of course, this is what's going to happen. If you start killing farmers and decreasing the number of commercial farmers, what's going to happen? Famine. Who's now feeding people in those other countries now that the Rhodesian and the South African white farmers have been so diminished and decimated? And one of the results is there's a massive increasing of people moving as refugees to other areas, and there's a great increase in famine. There's more people dying. And I'm informed by people in military intelligence that they're actually people in the New World Order, United Nations population control crowd, who want this to take place, who want there to be a few hundred million less people in the world, and one of the quickest ways of getting rid of a lot of people is famine, and the obstacle is these efficient farmers. So getting rid of the farmers isn't a national suicide as we would think of it, but it's all part of the social engineering to bring about a new world order.
I really wish we were only going to get rid of a couple of hundred million. I believe they're going to get rid of billions of people, and there are people that, for instance, Jacques Cousteau, the great humanitarian, used to swim with the fishes, came up with the scuba. He wanted to eliminate 350,000 people a day. We have the article in the UNESCO Courier where he's quoted as saying that. If you have a chance, read my population control agenda. It's up on the internet. Just understand Monteith, Radio Liberty, population control agenda. It's probably the best thing up there. It needs to be updated. But they really do, Peter, intend to kill billions of people. These are not nice people we're up against. They have a different agenda, a different worldview, because I believe they worship a different God. Well, you go right ahead, Peter.
Well, yes, indeed. You know, Dr. Stan, I know that there's evidence of that, too. When I was in jail in Zambia under the Marxist leader, Kenneth Kaunda, I met a whole lot of interesting people, some of whom are now in the government of Zambia, now that Zambia's gotten rid of their socialist dictatorship and they have a Christian multi-party democracy, and Zambia's officially a Christian nation with the constitution writing in protections for the preborn, outlawing abortion, outlawing pornography, outlawing homosexuality, which is a crime, bringing the Bible and prayer back into schools, and a lot of good things are going on in Zambia, and we've been meeting with top people in the government. I started to meet many of these people because they shared similar cells in Lusaka Central when I was locked up there. And one of those men, General Godfrey Mianda, he had been locked up in Lusaka Central. He became vice president. And he told me that when they had the World Population Control Conference in Cairo, he went there as vice president of Zambia to represent the Zambian interests. And at a certain point, he had to stand up and say, too much applause from the African contingent. He said to the UN, you people are not interested in saving the lives of Africans, but only in killing us, it would seem. Under the colonials, we had far better health care than we have now with all the medical advances and with the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization doesn't seem interested in saving lives. We have, and he quoted the numbers of how many millions die of malaria every year, how many millions die of parasitic waterborne diseases like cholera, and yet somehow or another this keeps increasing, and the very simple cheap solutions to these things are not of any interest to the World Health Organization. But the World Health Organization only wants to provide us in Africa with condoms and abortions. He said it would appear you're more interested in killing Africans than in saving African lives. And there was a lot of applause from the people on the ground, but I bet that wasn't reported in the media here in the United States.
No, I'm sure it wasn't, and I think he's absolutely right. We've written extensively about that. That's really the reason they outlawed DDT, not because, you know, it was harmful to the environment, but because it was saving so many lives in Africa and doing away with malaria. Malaria is a very efficient killer.
Go yes, right it ahead. Is. Over millions of Africans die every year of malaria. I know many people in Africa who've died of malaria. Malaria is a scourge, and yet it was effectively wiped out under the colonial regimes in the 50s and 60s. It was very little of a problem, and in Rhodesia, it wasn't a problem at all back in the 60s and 70s. Malaria has made a tremendous comeback. As decolonization has spread, and as the revolution has spread, so has death and disease.
Well, it's a tragic situation. It's hard to get people to accept that. But people, even if they do accept it, don't seem to be too concerned as long as it's happening in Africa. But I simply would point out that, you know, God is bringing his judgment on America because men and women do become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose, especially when they're being financed with our tax money. Yes. Go right ahead, Peter.
Well, Dr. Dan, I think Americans need to be very alert to the fact that what has happened to us in Africa is coming to you here. You're being invaded by illegal aliens, you're being destabilized by greater violence than ever before, and it's going to only increase. And of course, this is what's got to happen. When you see how many people's homes have been destroyed and how many countries have been destroyed, those people who were happy to stay in their countries are now pouring out because of a ripple effect of destabilization, a deliberate destabilization by the United Nations, Soviet Union, Red China, and the U.S. State Department as an accessory to all these revolutions. So the illegal alien problem you've got in your country is a direct result of the destabilizing of so many other countries around the world. And in addition to that, when you consider that you've got the most radical regime you've ever had in the White House, who are propagating some of the most radical socialist agendas, and you have people who have promoted pedophilia being put in charge of safety in your schools, and you have every kind of Marxist, socialist, radical on all sorts of levels in the country, then you've got to wonder what is going to happen. I've seen countries fall to communism. I've been now a missionary for 28 years to persecuted churches. I've worked in 30 different countries around the world, including communist Mozambique and Angola and throughout Eastern Europe and Zimbabwe. I've seen what happens when countries are taken over. And I've lost three countries. The country I grew up in, Rhodesia, is today communist Zimbabwe. The country I fought for as a soldier, Southwest Africa, is now Namibia. The South Africa that is my home is now run by Marxist revolutionaries. And it's a very traumatic experience to see your country changed, your flag changed, so much of your heritage lost, and to see beautiful, wonderful, magnificent forests chopped down, see magnificent, orderly, beautiful suburbs turned into slums, to see just the chaos caused. And if people think it can't happen here, just open your eyes. It has happened to other countries just as stable. Just think of the fact that you've got a country today called Turkey that once was the Christian Byzantine Empire, and a city called Istanbul that once was Constantinople, the greatest Christian city in the world, the largest Christian city in the world, with the largest church in the world, San Sophie, which was later turned into a mosque. The country of Byzantine, which is a Christian civilization, is today known as Turkey. And they are now talking about turning Europe into Eurabia. And you can be sure there are people who've got the same kind of plans for the United States of America. The Marxists, the Muslims, the New World Order guys, they've all got their plans, and they're not good plans. And if people don't stay armed and vigilant and alert and prepared and wake up, then these terrible revolutions that have happened in other countries will come here. You've got people in Washington right now talking revolution and doing revolution.
I think that's absolutely right. I think we really have to be aware of the fact that within the last few months, why, of course, the jihadist, the radical form of Islam, has taken over Turkey. Before that, Turkey was a secular country, and, of course, all religions could be there. Of course, it's you, if you're an Armenian or you're a Christian, why, you really always had to be looking over your shoulder, but at least the government was secular. And now the government there in Turkey is jihadist. It's broken its relationship with Israel. And we're talking about within the last month or so. And believe me, this is going to have a profound impact on the coming war that's going to be taking place in the Middle East. And we're going to be involved in that war, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be involved in that war because the good people of America are just too busy to be involved. Go ahead, Peter.
Well, Dr. Stan, I know that people need to be informed, and we need to be informed because my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. We need to understand the times and know what God's people must do. We need to understand Islam. We need to understand communism. We need to know how to evangelize Muslims, how to evangelize Marxists. And I've produced two books that are particularly designed to help one on the Islam front. And one is Faith Under Fire in Sudan. We've had tremendous responses from this in the past, and we've brought out a completely new revised book, three times bigger than the previous one, 200 pictures, 300 pages, Faith Under Fire in Sudan. And it documents with graphic pictures and inspiring stories of Christian courage amidst the tremendous violence and vindictiveness of the Islamic Jihad in Sudan. While it's shocking in places, it's ultimately inspiring because the Christians have stood firm in Sudan, especially in Nub Mountains. And so that's a new resource that I think people can use to inspire their friends and neighbors and congregations to understand what's going on and to resist it. And the other is slavery, terrorism, and Islam, the historical roots and the contemporary threat. If anyone wants to know what's going on with Islam and the politically incorrect facts, what is the story behind the story, slavery, terrorism, Islam is our real best-selling book now, fourth edition out, and we're just about to do a fifth edition. And that's packed full of pictures and facts and stories and everything from the history to what thoughts about Islam to how we can deal with it and defeat it.
Well, of course, you've had pretty good results, you know, converting a Muslim to Christianity. I mean, certainly this has been a factor in Nigeria, and certainly even in the Sudan, didn't some of the Muslims actually convert to Christianity?
Many, many. We're not just talking about hundreds now. We're talking about thousands and even tens of thousands in the case of Nigeria. There are whole churches that I know where there are more converts from a Muslim background than people from a Christian background. So, yes, the church is growing and Islam is losing people. There's a massive amount of defections of Muslims who have had enough of the violence and the intolerance and are attracted by the courage and tenacity of Christians. So in Sudan, Nigeria in particular, Christians are having great success in winning over their enemies and their neighbors to Christ. And some of the reaction of the more radical elements is to get more violent and burn down more churches, because they obviously don't believe in freedom of people to change their religion. And this needs to be understood. We're continually writing about this. If people want to see our frontline publications or reports, we put out a quarterly report, Frontline, Fellowship News. We've sent out e-updates. So if anyone wants to either check out our website at frontline.org.za or email us at info@frontlinefellowship.net, we'll keep them informed on at least what's going on in Africa. And if they need some good resources, whether DVDs, PowerPoints, or books to expose Islam or Marxism, we can certainly provide that from an African perspective.
All right, friend, and I would suggest, I've read Peter's books in the past, and they're excellent. People have to understand that the things that are happening in Africa seem so distant. But believe me, they can happen here, because in many instances, it is all funded with your tax money. Certainly, the country, the China Petrol, was actually funding the military arm of Sudan. China Petrol was over there, of course, developing the oil reserves in the Sudan, but they were raising their money on American financial markets. $5 billion China Petrol, then, of course, they gave it to the Muslims then, who used it to buy the armaments to kill the Christians with. And where was the outcry here in America? Why, it was deafening in its silence. So much of what goes on in throughout the rest of the world, the terrible things and the oppression of Christians, is funded right out of our country.
Yes, indeed. I've been bombed while preaching in churches in Sudan, but one picture that stays in my mind so graphically is walking in Nuba Mountains. I saw a man who had no feet. His feet had been axed off at the ankles, and he was riding on a donkey with just two stumps where feet would belong. And a person might lose one foot, but how did he lose two? And I asked, and they said, oh, he's an evangelist. And the Arabs chopped off his feet to stop him taking the gospel to his neighbors. And they didn't want to just kill him. They wanted to mutilate him to be a warning to everyone who sees him, don't preach the gospel. But this man was not allowing the inconvenience of not having feet keep him from taking the gospel to his neighbors. He had calloused knees. He continued to walk on his knees or ride on his donkey to proclaim the gospel to his neighbors. Now, that kind of tenacity in Sudan is inspiring. It puts any excuses we might come out up with in the shade.
Well, we are living, tragically, in a fallen world. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, the survival of Christian civilization. We're under attack today, and we're losing the battle because most Christians have no idea what's going on, and they're certainly not getting that message from most of the people, certainly on the Internet. We need to understand behind everything are these powerful spiritual forces that would destroy Christianity and bring about a world government and a new world religion, excluding Christianity. Well, you go right ahead, Peter. We've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, Dr. Stan, I must say that we need to remember that God is sovereign and God is all-powerful and the Bible is powerful and prayer is powerful and the power of truth is powerful.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about anything any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
And for our protection, because we're on the front lines of this battle, and believe me, I have a lot of friends who entered the battle and either have been forced out or have met very, very strange demises, but be that as it may, we'll be here hopefully as long as God gives us a breath. So if you'd like to be part of our team, our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Now, how do you understand what's going on today? Well, let me suggest you go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and you can pull down different groups of letters, for instance, on the occult hierarchy. Or we've taken our letters and put them in little inexpensive pamphlets, the one on the occult hierarchy, probably about 150 pages, just to our newsletters. But it will give you an insight into who really runs the world. And, of course, they're these powerful spiritual forces. But they're manifested through men. Men, of course, give their allegiance to these spiritual forces. Usually they're very well rewarded. They receive great wealth and fame and fortune, but at a terrible price. And, of course, so we recommend you go to our website, read our newsletters, watch our DVDs, listen to our radio programs. And another section there, the what on other videos on the web, I think it is, or videos on the web. And look at these. They're usually 3 or 4 minute YouTubes or other videos. Fascinating information that I think that I'd like you to be able to see. So they're all right there. You just go down, you link a link to those various sites, and I think you'll find it very, very informational. You need, of course, to read our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or if you can't afford it, go to our website and watch the DVD. And then, of course, you need to hear our talk on the secret or the forbidden secret. The forbidden secret's a little bit longer, more detail. There is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years, and certainly it's been passed down to the mystery religions and secret societies and Pythagoras and Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and Alexander the Great. And you're never going to be told that these people were all involved in the mysteries. And then, of course, through the Kabbalah and through the Gnostics and then through the Black Nobility, through the Knights Templar, through the Rosicrucians, all forces that have been there, certainly the Knights of the Golden Garter, the Order of the Garter, 1400 in Great Britain, an organization for the leaders of the world. Order of the Garter, go ahead and read all about it, how Hirohito was a member. Emperor Hirohito of Japan was a member before the Second World War, and then they let him out there during the war, and then, of course, the reason he was never prosecuted after the war, he was a member of the Order of the Garter, where the rulers of the world get together on a regular basis and meet there in London. But you're never going to hear about these secret societies, and you need to understand them, anyway, of course, you want to get into the so many of the other issues, but certainly you can get our writings, our talks at 1-800-544-8927. We're going to be talking to Pastor Joe Schimmel this next hour. Let me suggest his DVD, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. We think that's one of the best things we have to introduce you to this spiritual battle, because many of the people within the music industry have made a deal, and they've gotten tremendous wealth and advantage, but at a terrible cost. Now, many of the people in politics have done exactly the same thing, and they have made a deal with the supernatural force that runs the world and the other world as well. There is a spiritual dimension. There is a supernatural realm. It's not imaginary. It's very real. If you're a Christian, you have to believe in the supernatural, because Christ did all sorts of supernatural things. And basically, of course, the evil forces from the other side can do that as well. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in a battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and we do hope that that many of you will check to try to prove us wrong, and if you cannot prove us wrong, that you'll join us in this epic struggle, a struggle for the very souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Well, our guest this evening is Carol Matriciana, and we're going to be talking about some of the videos she's made. We're going to be talking about the spreading of belief in witchcraft and the supernatural among our young, and even increasing belief in the supernatural among many of the adults in this country. And there is a growing fascination with this idea of being able to find the real power, the hidden power, that is hidden within each one of us. And it is that old adage that began in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent said to Eve, "And ye shall be as gods." And this has been the message down through the eons, that man has within his own capacity the ability to be as God. And of course, to have these supernatural powers, to be able to contact this other dimension. And, of course, on the front line of this is a woman who actually came out of the occult, out of the New Age movement, having been born in India and raised in a British family, during the latter days of the British Empire, and then going to England and becoming involved with the New Age movement, and then becoming a Christian. And Carol's been working very hard for many years to expose this fifth column, this subversive religious fifth column within our society today. Carol, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. It is always such a wonderful privilege to be with you.
Well, tell us what you're seeing today, because things are moving very, very fast as these ideas are being spread in our children and even in our adults.
Ah, it is just incredible how quickly things are moving. You're absolutely right. About 20 years ago, I made a film called Gods of the New Age, and I wrote a book of the same title. And just watching in the past two decades the change of Eastern mysticism, Hinduism, yoga, the way that yoga is now being taught in schools, it is just incredible. I am on the verge of finishing a film on yoga, And in fact, this very week I'm concluding it, and you are going to get one of the first copies, which I am very excited to tell you about. But, you know, just the incredible thing of how yoga has now completely appeared to be, is marketed as though it isn't a Hindu Eastern mystical practice.
But isn't this really very similar to what we're actually taking up in so many of our Christian churches today in the name of contemplative prayer, where you sort of put yourself into this, in this state of almost this state of almost like a state that you'd have with yoga?
Exactly. You're absolutely right. It's crossed into markets. It's gone across from secular thinking into our Christian institutions and organizations, and in fact, this is what my latest film is about, how it has come into the church, how it is presenting itself in the church, how we are opening ourselves up to this spiritual realm out there without even calling it a spiritual realm in some cases. I mean, it's just amazing. 20 years, 30 years ago, it was so obvious that Eastern mysticism, that yoga came from Hinduism. It was so obvious it came from India. But then it started getting packaged as a scientific program, as though it was somehow scientifically proved that it was able to bring about a fitness. It was able to...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, you go right ahead and pick your thought up there, Carol.
I was just mentioning that the way that yoga became repackaged, as though they could take away the spiritual aspects of it, as though it could be scientifically monitored somehow, that the sort of spiritual connection that one opened oneself up to could be monitored in a scientific way and, you know, presented as... scientifically showing improvement. For instance, just recently in 2003, I believe it was, there were researchers at California State University that studied these TEP scores at the Accelerated School District, and particularly focused in on this new yoga that is being taught to children in schools, 100 schools across 26 states. They've adopted this Guba's yoga educational program, and more than 300 physical education instructors have been trained in it. So here we had the researchers of the California State University looking into how the students were performing. And so scientifically, they have found a correlation between the kids that take yoga, that they've got better behavior, better grades. And they said these young kids that have been taking these programs are much more fit than the district average, you know, in the physical fitness thing. So they take these tests. They show that they're scientifically supposedly accelerated and being able to perform better. And they're not seeing that here in schools where they've taken out the Bible, they've taken out prayer, they've taken out Christian foundational, anything that is associated with a Christian worldview, and yet they're bringing in Eastern mysticism, completely connected with yoga, Hinduism. All of that is part of this Eastern mystical worldview, and this is now being brought into schools where they say that they can empty, that they can separate the physical from the spiritual. So it's absolutely amazing that this has grown. I mean, at a time when we've got Harry Potter been coming into the schools, where the Bible's being taken out, Harry Potter's been allowed to be read aloud in the classrooms, and here we've got witchcraft brought in a child-friendly way to our young students, teaching them all about this young wizard learning wizardry.
Hold that thought there for just a moment, Carol. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, is Carol Matrician, and we're talking about yoga that is coming into our schools, which is basically a form of Eastern mysticism. Could you explain to our listeners who really don't understand yoga, what this is, how it works, and why it is so deadly dangerous.
Well, Dr. Stan, as you said earlier in your program, I was born and raised in India, and I was fifth generation born in India, and very, very familiar with Eastern mysticism and Hinduism. And in India, yoga and Hinduism are synonymous. The practice of yoga is something that is done by most Hindus in the last stage of their lives when they're preparing to go into their next into the next phase of life in their reincarnation cycle. So the Indian, the Hindu believes that their body goes from body to body so that when they die out of this one body, their soul goes into another body and another body and so on. And depending on what they've accomplished or done in past lives determines how they will come back in future lives. So yoga is a very, very important part of preparing them for death, preparing them for reincarnation, helping them to change their mind through mind exercises, even though they're also physical exercises, but the physical exercises are connected with deities. Every body posture is connected with a deity, the name of an animal that the body gets into in order to be able to become one with the universe, become one with the idea. The Hindu idea of deity is that all nature is divine, if you will. So the problem with man is he doesn't understand his divinity, and he doesn't understand that he's one with the cosmic consciousness. And so yoga is part of changing his consciousness, changing his mind to become one and become united with the sort of higher consciousness, this divinity, before he gives up this body in order to be prepared to bring his soul into the next body.
Well, Carol, this state of mind that is being stressed, this almost altered state of consciousness, do you think this opens one up to demonic possession?
It's certainly, if one comes from a biblical worldview, we would understand it, because the Bible explains that we have to love the Lord our God with all our mind. We have to bring our mind under the mind of Christ. We have to have God's opinion. So from a biblical point of view, we're told not to give up our minds, not to put our minds into neutral, so to speak, because it would open up a doorway for our mind to be taken over by another being. Now, within Hinduism, they don't see that. That is not what they would see in a negative way. They believe that their every single energy out there, every single sort of force, if you will, is part of divinity. So yes, from a biblical viewpoint, of course we would say that it's supernaturally dangerous and something that we mustn't get involved in. From an Eastern perspective, they say you must get involved in that in order to understand the energy that you have inside of yourself that has to be awakened. In fact, even more incredible, it's only in the Bible that the serpent is seen as the enemy of God. But in every other culture, the serpent is believed to be a divinity of wisdom, an energy of wisdom. And actually, within yoga practice, this cobra, this serpent, this energy is called Kundalini. And it is believed to lay dormant at the base of each person's spine and must be awakened through yoga. The serpent power is awakened, brought up through the chakras or psychic energies that are believed to be along the spine, and ultimately to come up to the very top psychic energy, which is called the third eye, between the two eyes up in the forehead. And then this will ultimately open the yoga practitioner up through a mind-altering experience to the understanding that they are divine and part of divinity and can be united with cosmic consciousness or the Hindu god, which is an impersonal force. So it is unbelievable that these two completely opposing worldviews are not, it's not called a worldview when this yoga practice is brought into schools and being practiced now in hundreds of schools across America. The young children, the teacher, Gerber, that put this thing together, specifically worked on taking out everything that appeared to be spiritual. She very, very specifically engineered this. She's been a yoga practitioner since, for many, many years. And she wanted to bring yoga into public schools, but there was this absolute outcry that it was religious. And so she put together this program to supposedly take out all these sort of Sanskrit, Eastern, Hindu concepts. And she called them completely different things. So she called breathing, which is an important part of yoga, to stimulate an altered state of consciousness. She started calling it bunny breathing for her little children. And all these different terms. Meditation, she didn't call it meditation. She called it time in. So she changed the names of these practices, stripped every piece of anything that could vaguely be construed as spiritual or Eastern, it'll come from its Eastern worldview, its Eastern base, and she was able to bring it into schools. And in fact, the government pays grant money to bring this, to bring these teachers. The federal government gives grants to gym teachers who completed a teacher training course in yoga. And so, hence we've now got this thing in with kids who we would never, that would never be, it wouldn't even be imaginable that they could read the Bible or say Christian prayers or learn anything Christian in schools, and yet they're able to practice Hindu mysticism, Eastern mysticism in the form of this sort of new type of yoga.
Well, you know, I think one of the hardest things for the average American, even for many American Christians, to recognize is the fact that there is a spiritual dimension behind everything going on today. We live in a materialistic world, but there is a spiritual dimension in which these demonic spirits and these other forces work. And one of the things, of course, that the mystics do, many of them, will actually tap into this other dimension. Now, certainly our students, when they're putting themselves in this altered state of consciousness, do not understand that there is another dimension, and there really are spiritual forces there that would love to claim their soul. Sounds pretty absurd, but would you agree that this is the real danger for the people who put their minds into this altered state of consciousness, that they're opening themselves up to be possessed?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you know, even the Hindus, even strong Hindus, will absolutely admit that yoga is part of their religion, it's part of the sacred teachings and practices of their religion. And while they wouldn't agree that this is negative, the way that Bible-believing Christians would understand that that there are dangers, the Hindu, the Orthodox Hindu, will admit that it is a religious practice. But Dr. Stan, I think the difficulties are that people don't believe that Satan is real. They don't believe that he is a person. Somehow they've relegated Satan to this force, this impersonal force, just the way that they've relegated God to being an impersonal force. So when you don't have a personal attribute given to Satan, then it just sort of becomes this, it's just not even explained in a way. For instance, even in the Harry Potter books, where Harry Potter's got this energy, which is explained as the white side of his enemy, the evil Lord Voldemort, who has the dark side. So once we start calling this force the light side and the dark side and not giving it a personal characteristic, then it all sort of becomes rather nebulous and doesn't appear to be dangerous. But from a biblical viewpoint and a biblical understanding, God thought so seriously about this, the personality of these fallen angels. In fact, I think the thing is that many people just don't know enough about angels and the spiritual world. And when I made the movie Supernatural Powers, the battle between good and evil, in fact, I don't know if you know that it got the best documentary for 2006, for last year.
I really didn't, but we do carry the video. In fact, I was seeing that, noticing we had copies of it the other day. That's
yeah,
the Supernatural.
I was just thrilled when it was given the best documentary of 2006, but in that we explained that God created all the angels, and that the angels had free will to follow God or not, just as man was created in the image and likeness of God and was given free will, and that there were a third of the angels that chose not to follow God. And these are the fallen angels of the demonic spirits that are longing to have a physical body to come into. So they will come and lie and cheat and try and open the minds of whoever will accept them into, whoever's mind will be opened enough so that these beings can work and communicate through a physical body.
Well, you know, the big problem is, Carol, that our ministers are not teaching this. In fact, they haven't been taught it in their school. And many of them don't even believe in hell or the Satan, or the demonic spirits, or the spirits of battle that's taking place. So how can they teach their parishioners? Well, Carol, you go right ahead with the story, and certainly I was just commenting, what are the big...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
To our schools and to in every aspect of our society in the name of yoga and meditation and contemplative prayer and walking the labyrinth, and all of these things are opening you up to demonic possession. So pick the story up there, Carol.
Well, I was telling about the adventures of going to India to interview experts on Hinduism, and of course we had done this 2 decades ago when we made our movie Gods of the New Age, and we started talking to the practitioners of yoga back then and followed the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh to his community in Oregon, in Antelope, Oregon. And if you remember that footage of hundreds of orange-clad devotees of Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh involved in these different types of meditation, being completely possessed. And when you saw it on camera and the frightening effects of them opening up their minds, going into these trances, and actually seeing their bodies contort and move, and as they swirled and rotated and fell on the floor, blood coming out of one of their nostrils, and oh, it was just, and screaming, just that, I remember when we were filming that, being in this huge open sort of building that didn't have sides, had a roof, but the screaming, the pitch of the screaming as these hundreds of people were opening themselves up to being possessed.
That was one of the most gripping pieces of film footage I've ever seen.
It was incredible. And Dr. Stan, you are going to be amazed at some of the footage that is in the film that I'm just in the process of completing called Yoga Uncoiled. And there we go to the practitioners of Hinduism in India, where the Hindu Vishwa Parishad, which is one of the largest missionary organizations in India, admits that Hinduism is giving way to that Christianity has now been taken over by Hinduism, and that their missionaries in the East have become the great missionaries through yoga, that they are sending their teachers to the West to take over through yoga. And it is just amazing seeing hundreds and thousands of these Hindu disciples at the Vishwa Hindu Parishad, the Allahabad Kumbh Mela, and you look at them, and they look very different to people that appear to be spirit-filled in a good and positive way here. I mean, they were naked, covered in ashes, covered in matted, matting their hair and looking completely demented.
Well, of course, how about a demonic? Would that be a better?
Absolutely. And it's when you actually see all this on camera, where people say that no, this can't possibly happen. But you know, I have been in the middle of demon possessed people, and I know it to be real. I have watched it. In fact, in one of our filming sessions, this fellow came into the tent as we were changing our our films are in the camera, and we needed a sort of a place away from the sun so that we could change our equipment. This fellow came in with this deep, dark, haunting, terrified voice, and at swords, here I was at the end of his sword as he was about to pierce his sword through me, and fortunately, by the power, the almighty power of a much greater God, I was able to calm this demented person to, you know, to leave me alone.
Now, of course, did you get this on film?
No. We were changing our, at that particular point, we were changing our film in the camera, so we couldn't take any film as this was taking place, but I'll tell you, it is absolutely sketched so clearly, etched on my mind. The moment that happened was indeed a scary moment for me. But I have been in the middle, because, you know, I've been involved in counseling people that have been in satanic cults and in Hindu cults. And so I have had the opportunity of speaking to people who are demon-possessed and actually speaking to these voices that come out of them and accuse me, want to kill me.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening is Carol Matriciana, and Carol is simply talking about how she's had the opportunity on many occasions to minister to people who are demonically possessed who would actually threaten to kill her. And, of course, we have 4 tape sets with other people who are really in these deliverance ministries. People laugh at it. Oh, there's no such thing. Yes, there is today. Unless you understand that there really is another dimension, there really are demonic spirits, there really are people who worship Lucifer, who hate Christianity, and of course they're doing everything they can today to destroy and discredit Christianity right here in America. And of course, when we see the witchcraft being even taught in our schools with the writings of Harry Potter, this is applied witchcraft 101. And yet this is be allowed in our schools. But we would never dare allow mention of the word, the name of Jesus Christ, or have a prayer in our schools. Go ahead, Carol.
Yes, it is. It's amazing. And I think one of the insidious things about, when Satanism or the cults are very obvious, people recognize them. But when they're sugar-coated and cleaned up and called scientific or child-friendly, and can come into our schools, it's absolutely awful. I was talking about this huge, great Indian, this Hindu festival called the Kumbh Mela, and how some years ago I was present at that, and it's organized by an India's Vishva Hindu Parishad, which is probably the world's largest missionary organization, and The Kumbh Mela that I went to in 1979 in Allahabad, India, there was actually the Second World Congress on Hinduism. There were about probably 60,000 delegates from around the world that were speaking at that. And one of the speakers said that our mission in the West has been crowned with fantastic success. Hinduism is becoming the dominant world religion, and the end of Christianity has come near. And in this film that I'm just finishing, called Yoga Uncoiled, we show how yoga teachers in the West have become the leading missionaries of Hinduism, and there are probably about 70,000 of them in America today, in more than 20,000 locations, teaching probably an estimated 35 to 40 million fitness fanatics. And
this is Dr. Stan, and Carol is basically saying that they're teaching, there's 70,000 missionaries here from the Hindu countries, and they're teaching 30 to 40 million people in these new programs?
Yes, I mean, 30 to 40 million Americans are taking yoga across this nation. And what they don't understand is the yoga teachers are basically the leading missionaries of Hinduism, because Hinduism and yoga have been repackaged as a fitness exercise. People don't understand that when they go into the gyms, when they go into the YMCAs, when they go into spas or schools and are taking yoga, that they don't understand that they are being indoctrinated into Eastern mysticism, a mind-changing program. It's not physical exercise. If you want to do physical exercise, you do not sit down in a lotus position and have your mind changed. You go out and you sweat out on a soccer field or in a swimming pool or on the tennis courts. And if you want to do physical exercise, then do radical physical exercise. But yoga specifically teaches to have your mind changed. These exercise programs are presented, they offer themselves as stress reduction or burnout reduction or concentration benefit programs. This is not exercise. Yes, there's some stretching involved, and yes, there's a little bit of sort of rolling around, but it's not physical exercise. So what's happening is yoga is basically experiencing a renaissance worldwide. And it's probably about a $27 billion industry. And here this new type of Eastern mysticism is coming into our gyms and health exercises, health clinics, health studios across the nation, offering stress benefits, and is promoted in hospital programs as an alternative medical therapy. It claims to reduce blood pressure and benefit the heart. And it is a new type of mental conditioning, now once again being made child-friendly, just like witchcraft was made child-friendly and introduced into the school system through Harry Potter books. So today, we have this new type of yoga being made child-friendly in 100 schools across the nation in 26 states. It's being called Gerber's Yoga Ed Program, and children are being taught it, and it is being promoted as bringing in good benefits for young children, that they have better behavior and better grades if they do this program. And, at a time when public schools, there's no religion, that religion should not be taught in schools. And if they've kicked out Christianity, then also the practice of yoga should not be in public schools. So it's just everything is changing its language, it's changing its presentation. But basically the bottom line is to condition our minds to get us into a relationship with supernatural beings out there that are changing us and ultimately preparing us for the world leader, the Antichrist, that is going to come in and rule the world. And there's this sort of huge global conditioning process going on that so many people just don't understand. And it's interesting that it's not only coming in through school programs or fitness programs, but it's also coming through the church, and it's being called this sort of new Eastern mysticism is being called contemplative prayer or centering techniques. And what it does is it gets Christians into a place where they're not meditating on the Bible, they're not meditating on the opinion of God, they're relating to spiritual experiences and feelings, and having their mind emptied to be able to bring in these sort of feel-good ideas that certainly are changing the psyche of the practitioners. I mean, I don't doubt for a moment that these young school kids that are being involved, there's this school program that's been going on now for about 6 years, a six-year-old yoga program that is being promoted, is helping distracted children to focus. They're saying that if your children have ADD and focusing issues, that this type of yoga is very important to help children focus and improve their behavior. So here, once again, a spiritual exercise is coming into the schools to change our children's spiritual, mental, spiritual being, to make them more docile or more easily pliable to a controlling method that is going to ultimately be able to come in some global capacity to change the minds of people and make them docile and prepare them for becoming world leader. And, you know, interestingly, of course, we see the same ecumenical program coming through Islam. Not very long ago, there was the official Iranian radio that started broadcasting these lengthy series on the imminent appearance of their messianic figure, who it was believed would defeat Islam's enemies, and which, of course, are the Christians and the Jews. And here, there was this, the entire world is going to have this Islamic Shiite rule, and the Muslims are waiting for their 12th Imam, or Mahdi, to come in, and this Mahdi will appear suddenly in Mecca. And interestingly, the Iranian president expects both Jesus and the Mahdi to return and wipe away repression. So we've got the Muslims waiting for the Messiah. We've got Christians waiting for their sort of coming Messiah.
The return of Christ, and of course the Jews are waiting for the Messiah, and the Hindu is waiting for Maitreya. So.
That's exactly it. And so there's this huge conditioning process that's going on, and so many people are just deceived and blind and don't understand that in order for this world being to, this being to come in, there's got to be a conditioning process, and the conditioning process is being done through mind-altering techniques, bringing in spiritual entities into very, very young kids through all sorts of methods and means, and one of them is yoga, which is what my new film is going to be about. And I think you will be absolutely amazed when you look at a Christian yoga teacher that I interviewed in this, who starts talking about she has completely turned around Christian yoga or the practice of Eastern mysticism and calling it Christian yoga. It is the most incredible interview. It will be an amazing film. I truly believe it's the best documentary that I've had the privilege of making, and I've made about, over 53 documentaries in the last couple of decades, and I think this one is going to be the most powerful.
When are we going to have it available?
Well, I'm going to send you your free complimentary director's copy next week, Dr. Stan.
Are
going to see it.
Well, we'll look forward to it, and certainly we'll carry that, and we'll do everything we can to help you get this material disseminated across America, because I think you're certainly, we're very fortunate to have you and your talent trying to utilize video to educate the people. But before we go on, I want you to get out your webpage. I want you to get out the information on how people can get your material. We do carry a great deal of Carol's material, and we'll probably be carrying more, but I want you to know how to get in touch with her material and with her webpage. So what can you tell them?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, they can go on to my www.caryl, I spell my name C-A-R-Y-L, TV, like television, .com. And if they'd like to even make pre-orders, pre-sales for the Yoga Uncoiled video, I will be very, very happy to take any pre-sale orders. Or they can phone me at 951-301-1101.
Give it up one more time, please.
951-301-1101. A lot of ones and a lot of zeros. 301-1101.
The thing is that the average American finds it so difficult to believe that this could be in our churches, yet it is. It's called the emerging church. And what we want is for Christians to have an experience, not to study Christianity, the Word of God, but to experience Christianity. And we're looking for that Christian experience. And, of course, what we're really doing is opening ourselves up to demonic possession. And the same thing, of course, really is true in every aspect of life. It's in our schools. Certainly, it's in our movies. It's everywhere we look. And the target is the mind of the American people, altering our perception of reality. They're doing a tremendous job about it. And the big problem is it is taking place because Christians do not understand the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, Dr. Stan. I agree with much of what you say, and it's just, I'm amazed that here you are, always working hard, opening up people's minds, and it still amazes me that people are deceived and can't see. You know, it's a spiritual blindness. That's what's so incredible. A spiritual blindness clouds the minds of so many so that they cannot see the biblical reality. And I have seen the reality of demonic beings, spiritual beings. I've grown up in India, and it's very prevalent, and it's very accepted. And, you know, one sees it in, I mean, my daily living, my going to school and living in India, one could see spiritual apparitions and signs and wonders in a way, and incredible powers that came with these things when you gave yourself over to them. And here we've got young kids in, through the Harry Potter series that want to be like their little hero, Harry Potter, and they want to be able to do the things that Harry Potter can do, the magic that Harry can do, and Harry says, just concentrate. Concentrate on what you want, and it'll happen. And here he specifically teaches young children how to be able to train their minds and be able to think in a different way. And Harry, of course, lives in this world of supernaturalism, in the so-called imaginary school of Hogwarts, school of witchcraft and wizardry, where there are ghosts that live with them, and animals and beings that change into from humans to animals and animals to humans. So there is every aspect of the supernatural world is illustrated in a child-friendly way so that children can see the supernatural through the eyes of Harry. But it looks exciting, and it's a power that Harry has and is able to work and overcome difficulties with, and so they want it. So here it is being shown in the books. And, of course, in movies, as you mentioned, I made a film called Gods of Entertainment, where we show the occultism that is prevalent through special effects and the incredible ability of the movie world to be able to make fantasy into reality and capture the imaginations of young children through video games, through the internet, through movies. And so their minds are continually being excited and fascinated by the occult world, which is made to look good if they stay within the white realm of it. And of course, it's also meant to look fearful if you go to the dark side. But they're being told that they can control not going into the dark side, whereas in the world of Harry Potter, you can see that there are dangers in that dark side, and J.K. Rowling, the author, says that each book is darker and darker, and she's going to be coming out with book number 7 in July. And, of course, Warner Brothers is coming out with film number 5 based on book number 5 in July. So here we have this barrage of more child-friendly witchcraft. And then you've got the hero of Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe, who has been playing the role of Harry Potter, who just in a couple of weeks is going to be on the theatre in the West End, on the stage in the West End, appearing nude and naked in an erotic scene with a horse. So here this young 17-year-old boy who millions of children all over the world see as their hero is getting into this sort of perverse child pornography, and kids are just being bombarded with sort of desensitization of morality, desensitization of occultism, and not being able to know what is right and what is wrong. It's a very, very scary world for young children, I think.
Well, I think they've targeted the minds of our children, and they're doing such a good job through the miracle of video and through the miracle of film. And the average parent doesn't have any idea that this is not simply fun and games. They're really gambling with the souls of their children. Because that's what this is really all about. You know, I was just thinking, Carol, looking back 30 years, when I was getting started in my study, I had no idea that there was this other realm out there, that there was another dimension. The idea of the true supernatural was so far from my mind, because after all, I lived in a materialistic world. And it really wasn't until the early 1980s I began to realize that there is this other dimension, there is this other place out there that where so much of this spiritual battle is being fought. And, until people understand that the purpose of witchcraft is to be able to reach the beings from the other dimension, and they really are able to do that. That's the frightening thing. They're in communion with them. They think that their good spirits are going to helping them, but of course they're not good spirits. They will tell you, well, they're white witches and black witches. No, they're all black witches. They're only shades of gray. And, of course, they are dabbling with things they have no idea about and will very well cost them their eternal souls. We'll be back here in just a moment here with Carol Matriciana. And, of course, your new film is going to be on yoga. I can hardly wait to see it. Well, Carol, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Well, Dr. Stan, I just would encourage...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Set us free from this absolutely awful condition that we are caught in, the condition of sin, and we can either give our lives to Christ who has set us free from that, or we can attempt to set ourselves free through all sorts of human methods and ideologies and philosophies and mind-bending and mind-twisting remedies, which I'm afraid will absolutely lead nowhere. And I can tell you because I was involved in the dark side and have certainly seen both sides of the supernatural world. And I thank my Lord Jesus Christ every day for setting me free from the dark side.
God bless you. Good night, Carol. And we'll look forward to having you on again sometime real
soon.
Thank
you, Dr. Stan.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, fine. Well, certainly Carol Matriciana is one of my favorite guests. We always enjoy having her with us here. And I hope you'll heed what she has to say. She's come from the other side. She realizes this supernatural power is not imaginary. It is real. But you do not want to even think about tapping into it. Oh, you may get a great wealth, you may get great pleasure, you may get all sorts of advantages and recognition. But you'll pay for what you gain here with your eternal soul. So, understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. We do hope that many of you will go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, and we do carry a number of Carol's videos and or DVDs. And in the past, have carried some of Carol's books. We'll have to check and see if we still have them. We do have a wonderful book. It's called The Beautiful Side of Evil. It's written by Johanna Michelson, who is a medium, who was actually, being trained as a psychic healer until she suddenly found this was all demonic. That's The Beautiful Side of Evil, and then our 4-tape set on the supernatural with my interviews with Johanna Michelson. You certainly want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which begins to put this into a geopolitical perspective. You'll certainly want to get Malachi Martin's book, Hostage to the Devil, the story of five exorcisms which were certified by the Catholic Church, and I will tell you, when you read that book, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. We also recommend that people will get the 4-tape set we have, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. You get them together, the book and the 4-tape set, that certainly reduce consideration. We do hope that, of course, many of you will get the videos we carry. They sold their souls for rock and roll, pointing out how these influences are in the music business and the music industry. If you've not yet seen the Da Vinci Con put out by our good friend Pastor Joe Schimmel, who put out the DVDs, They Sold Their Soul, the Da Vinci Con goes into what Hollywood is doing and the influence of Gnosticism, which is simply a throwback to an ancient heresy that existed in the first century A.D., and, of course, that can be traced back to the teachings of the ancient Kabbalah, which can be traced back to the ancient mystery religions. And there is a continuity of evil since the Garden of Eden, and it is coming to its culmination at this very time we live in. We live in one of the most exciting times in all history. But you better understand what's going on and whose side you're on. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen directly or indirectly to our radio programs on the Internet 5 hours a day, 4 hours a day on shortwave. Where, of course, you can listen to our programs 9 hours a day on Telstar 5 satellite. We don't expect you to do it. We hope that you're going to tell others about our programs, but listen when you can. Get educated. And, of course, get the material we talk about. Pull down our web, pull down our newsletters, read them, save them, study them, and then pray for America. Pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this spiritual battle. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour program. It is 14 July 2010. Glad to have you aboard. So thrilled to have you on the right track, looking for the right issues at the right time. It makes so much sense to focus on ourselves, on our lives, getting everything in order, changing what we don't like, and then changing the rest of the world. But we got to get ourselves right first. And that's something we focus on at the Power Hour by getting as healthy as we can, as fit mentally, spiritually, and physically. Thank you for joining us straight up top of the hour. We are so pleased to have you here. You're going to be glad you tuned in today. In the 8 o'clock hour, Central Time, we're going to be joined by Dr. Orly Tates. She is leading the charge on the issue of the Obama birth certificate. Is he a citizen that is qualified to be president? Well, not qualified, but legally able to be president of the United States, or is he not? We're going to find out the latest issues on that case and see what she has to say with respect to what's going on with the birth issue. Then in the next hour, we're going to be talking to some veterans, and this is a tragic story. Ladies and gentlemen, would you believe that people were told, if you join the military, you can become a citizen? Well, we know that, right? Are you aware they're being deported after they serve? Tell me it isn't so. Well, I can't. Not good, ladies and gentlemen. What we're going to be looking at today is one case of a gentleman who is in the process of being deported. He served his country. He served in Vietnam. Yeah, served in Vietnam, has been fighting this most of his life. It's not just him, it's Gulf War veterans also being deported. So we're going to be talking to a Vietnam veteran who is a citizen but is standing for these troops. When he found out about this, the website is banishedveterans.info. Jan Ruman is his name, former Marine. Joining him is Louis Alvarez, another Marine, former Marine, Vietnam veteran, 82nd Airborne, who is going to face deportation, possibly, which we hope will not happen. And then their attorney will be joining us also on this most devastating case. We'll find out about what happens to their families and dependents when all of a sudden they are uprooted and they were told it wouldn't happen. In the major news networks, you're finding today that they're looking at an issue that just absolutely ought to infuriate you. Remember a year ago when we talked about a alleged terrorist, well, not alleged, he had already been convicted, a terrorist, Ali Mohamed al-Megrahi, who was involved in the Lockerbie bombing, and he was released from prison, and it seemed like, what the heck is going on? What? After all these years, he was released from prison because he was possibly going to die.
well, kind of like we're all possibly going to die someday. Well, he was released, and now they're looking at BP's involvement. Now, how in the world does BP have involvement in a Lockerbie bombing mastermind? We'll talk about that. And there's a backlash growing on the body scanners, the naked body scanners, about time. And I want every one of you, when you go through the airport, to say, excuse me, as loud as you can, I don't do the naked scanner. That's the way we're going to have to do this to get people to be aware of what's happening. A court tosses out FCC ruling to curb indecent speech on the airwaves. Can you believe? It just might be possible to say anything and everything that you want to on radio and television. Well, not here at the Power Hour. And new information on vitamin D. Why are pharmacists getting cancer? And discovery of a second deep water pipe. Uh-oh, more problems. We'll be back. 3 minute break. This is Joyce Riley. Stay tuned to the Power Hour.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog.
Wow.
Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain clog past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull.
Wow.
You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain clog has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drain. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com.
Wow.
The Drain Claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The Drain Claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the Drain Claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the Drain Claw at thedrainclaw.com.
Wow.
If you suffer from poor sleep,
you've got to try MyPillow.
Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose?
Except poor sleep.
Go to MyPillowShop.com, mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
Thank you for joining us on the Power Hour today, 8 minutes after the hour. There's so much news being made, but you know, when we think about what is important in our lives and what are we going to remember, it's the memories that we make of the good things.